Welcome to Be the Giraffe. I'm your host and guide, Chris Jarvis. Perhaps you're wondering why Be the Giraffe. The giraffe literally evolved to be more vulnerable, but the truth is that giraffe gets to see things others can't and reach heights and reach food others won't. If you are looking for ways to stand out and reach higher in business, with money, and in life, then you are in the right place. Welcome to Be the Giraffe. Welcome to Be the Giraffe. I'm your host, Chris Jarvis, and this is the show where innovators share how they stood tall, broke free from the herd, and reached higher in business and in life. Today's guest is the dynamic Kadena Tate. From her early days as a corporate executive to becoming one of the most sought-after business strategists in the country, she's the creator of 50 Shades of Paid. That's right. Kadena empowers entrepreneurs to turn their purpose into profit, building brands that are not just successful, but soulful. If you want to elevate your business, buckle up and get ready to learn from a true master of influence, alignment, and purpose-driven profit. Kadena Tate, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, so happy to have you. So this is exciting. So I love a good metaphor with Be the Giraffe. I love the 50 Shades of Paid. We talked about this. People are so concerned with money. Yeah. And the challenge that people have online is you see what people are doing and people try to mimic somebody's strategy or copy somebody's video. Yeah. Or the big thing is it went viral and they're trying to copy other people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people teaching that. Like I did this for so-and-so, so you should learn from me, or you should copy your mentors, copy your heroes.
Yes.
But you have a completely different view on this.
Absolutely, because I crashed and burned trying to do that. I literally was trying to follow everybody else's frameworks, methodologies, and process maps, and I lost myself in that whole search and quest for profit. So I basically had to learn that authenticity has no competition. I literally, the first 7 years of my business, I didn't make any money because I was spending money in what I call being in information junkie mode. I was going here and there and everywhere looking for everything outside of myself. And then I went through bankruptcy. And I realized, okay, something has to shift. And I'm the only person responsible. Nobody's coming to save me. So I need to make the shift. And then I stood on stage one day and somebody asked me, what did it feel like to go through bankruptcy? And I was so caught off guard, I burst into tears. And I was like, you know, you have this big choking thing. And then it was the ugly cry in front of 600 people. And I just took a deep breath and I did like this. I said, hold on, let me catch my breath. I'll answer your question. And then when I began the story of overgiving and under-earning and people-pleasing and proving, all these people were looking at me. What I thought was like, you're crazy. They were like this. But what I realized is they were enraptured and enthralled. And that was the day that I made my first $100,000. And I was like, I don't understand.
That was the first day
I ever made $100,000 in one day.
You made $100,000 in a day.
And I was like, now I don't know how to, I don't know, like, what did I do? How do I duplicate it? I couldn't reverse engineer it because I didn't know what I did to make it happen, right? Because everybody says you need to document your steps to success so that you have a repeatable process. I didn't know what that was. So then it would be like another maybe like 5 months before I realized, oh, you went somewhere, you spoke, and then you had a back-end product, you had something to sell from the stage, but your message connected with the people because you were your authentic self.
So let me ask a question. Yeah. Hold on. I want to interrupt because people watching this, it sounds like what you said, Kadena, was you were so busy learning, you learned your way, and learning how to copy other people, you learned your way into bankruptcy.
Absolutely.
And so for people who went to school, went to college, if you were doing the job that you thought you were meant to do, you're living the life that maybe your parents told you they wanted for you, or you just assume they wanted for you, which is even worse, and we'll get into that. But like, if you're doing something that you don't want to do or you feel stuck doing, then, or you're afraid to move forward, you're afraid to break free from the herd and do other things. The learning how to copy other people, like this whole learning your way into being unhappy and unsuccessful, like that's the big lesson, right? Is this whole following somebody else's path.
Partially. For me, it was, I worked at a job that I hated for 20 years, and I knew that I needed to be self-employed, but I didn't have the support, right? So I tried to do it on the side. And so what I thought was, I don't know what I'm doing, so I need to take this class or attend this seminar and whatever. And then I said to the people, one of the things that I said to the people that day, which I didn't realize it until someone ran up to me, the significance of it, I said to them, I was an A student that didn't know how to make money. So how did I get here? And I'm too smart for this. So that's what made me pause, because I think a lot of people in like second grade, we're taught to compare and contrast. So you're always looking outside of yourself for affirmation, validation, and confirmation of worth, when instead you need to put the spotlight inward, because you are, I don't know any other way to communicate this, but you know what you want. You know what your gifts, talents, strengths, and abilities are, right? It's just a matter of learning the practical steps of how to package it, right? But it has absolutely nothing to do with somebody else's, like what they think. That can be inspirational and even aspirational. But at some point, you got to get clear about what do I want? What do I need? What value am I delivering? And what type of transformation can a client expect when working with me?
So I think that the coolest thing, you said so much in there. It's you're gonna have to rewind this one. But so fascinating is, I remember when I went to business school, I went to a state school. I was the first kid to go to college. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into a top 10 business school and I show up at UCLA, people have gone to Harvard and Stanford and mm-hmm. all these other places. And I felt like, well, I went to the University of Rhode Island, and which made it hard to get into a school because it was all about the pedigree. Did you go to yes. Penn? Did you go to Northwestern? Did you go to Stanford, Harvard, Yale, whatever? Duke. And I felt like the fact that I had gone to the state school made me less.
Yes.
Or the fact that at the time, you know, my parents hadn't been to college. And those were all the things I was afraid of, because
yes.
I felt like I was less because I had less pedigree. But then it took such a long time to realize that the fact that I got there, but I started further back, is actually a more relatable thing.
Exactly.
And is actually something to applaud. So this whole be the giraffe thing, the giraffe sticks its neck out. It's the only animal that evolved to become more vulnerable, not less. But as a result of that long neck, it can see things others can't. And with you, the irony of talking about your bankruptcy
yeah.
led to mm-hmm. your biggest income day of your life.
Exactly.
Came from you talking about your worst financial day of your life.
Exactly. And it also didn't come from a subject matter expertise. This was the other hard lesson that I had to learn. It came from me being relatable and speaking about something relevant to the audience. And I think before, I thought I have to razzle-dazzle them with everything I know, which is why I'm studying all this different stuff, right? But you know, there's that quote that says, people don't care about how much you know, they care about how you make them feel. That's the thing that they care about. And so it took me, I'm going to be vulnerable and say to you, I wish I could say when I was standing on the stage, I knew what I was doing. I was answering a question from a very pure place, because what I felt in my body was, oh, he's going through this, or there are people in this room that are near bankruptcy and they're kind of freaking out. And I need to answer this question honestly so that they'll know I'm on the other side of it, right? You're going to survive it. It's not a good feeling sitting in your house waiting, right, for somebody to throw all your stuff out, especially when you've worked really hard to get to a place. But what's even more important is to connect with the person on a human level. And that, I mean, listen, people do business with people they know, like, and trust, but what no one tells you is, yes, you have to know your stuff in order to work with people, but you got to be able to relate to people. And if you can't relate to them, you're just not. I mean, the money's not sustainable.
I love this so much, because people are, I hear all the time from folks, I want to start a business, when is the right time? Or even me with the TV show, it was, I'm going to launch a television show, My previous business before this was helping very high net worth people with tax problems, which they, when people, very rich people have you solving their problems, they want you to be a ghost.
Yes.
So I went from having lots of books and doing lots of speaking to doing none of it, because the clients I had were like, we're just going to quietly keep you in the corner and you're going to make and save us tons of money. And it worked out very well for all of us.
Yeah.
But then it was, well, I don't have, the last time I was running stages and going all over the world was years ago. And so it was, well, I don't have the millions of followers in it. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't the thing. And it's that moment of, when is the right time to start a business, to start doing your thing? It's yesterday.
Exactly.
Like that whole being you, what you've been through, for people who are so afraid of people learning their story and the things that they've been through. My experience is that the things that people have been through is what creates the great connection.
I agree 100%. I also think that one of the things for me, when you ask the question, when should I go into business? I think a more important question is, what do people want from me that I have that I can deliver with ease and joy? Because I think a lot of times people want to make money, right? And so the focus is on the money, and they don't realize if this person, I'm really not trying to be funny. There were people who were running around charging people $60 an hour to go to somebody's house and give them a hug, right? Give them a hug. And people were like, are you serious? I'm like, there's a million ways to make $1 million. It's, does that person need what you have? And I think that sometimes we forget we all have unique gifts, talents, strengths, abilities, and the lessons that we've learned that we can share with somebody else. But we have to do that not in some teacher student sort of way, right? But you meet the person here. And I think that that's like what we're missing in our society. We don't know how to meet people where they are and look in people's eyes and connect with them heart to heart, eye to eye, soul to soul.
I love that. If you want to connect more, not just make money, but actually connect with people in a way that's sustainable, you have got to come back so you can meet Kadena Tate where she is. We'll see you after the break. Feel like you're meant for something bigger in life? I'm Chris Jarvis, and on Be the Giraffe, we ditch the herd, stick our necks out, and find a better path in life, in business, and with money. It's time to disrupt the ordinary and build an extraordinary life. Laugh, learn, leap. Join me Friday, 7 p.m. on Now Media TV. Welcome back. Chris Jarvis and I am here with Kadena Tate, who is giving us so much wisdom. It's a show you'll have to watch twice because she just keeps going over one great idea after another. We talked in segment one about authenticity and how it's so important. And so many people have ideas and have dreams and they feel stuck. Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, the giraffe lesson of breaking free from the herd. Is a giraffe is not a herd animal. So, but the challenge that most people, no, a lot of people, including myself at one point, struggle with is when you're doing something in life and it's not serving you. You mentioned mm-hmm. having a corporate job for mm-hmm. 20 plus years, mm-hmm. that you said a job you hated.
Yes, I did.
And so the problem is when you break free from the herd and you start looking for the better path to the greener pasture, so to speak, to the better life, whatever that is, a new career, a new relationship, a new city, a new country, a new whatever it is, new purpose, new passion. The challenge is you have to leave this group. And biologically, safety in numbers requires everybody to stay in the numbers. And so the herd wants everybody to stay in the herd. And when you leave, one of the challenges is all the people who are there. When I left New England to move to California, the line I got was, oh, you're too good for us now?
Yes.
So like that leaving, when you make that transformation, you finally decide that the pain and fear of leaving is outweighed by the pain of staying, that now it's time to move. There are the critics and the haters and the other people, but you haven't made it somewhere great yet.
Right.
So you're not attracting people to you. That's a solo journey.
It is. It's the liminal space. So it's the space between I'm not who I used to be and I'm not where I want to be. And that's very uncomfortable. But that's also the pruning season. Because for me, what I had to learn was everyone's not your friend, right? And there are some people that you don't even know, they're so close to you that you don't even know what an insult looks like. So like your statement of, you think you're too good for us? Those little slick comments, they slowly tear down and erode your self-esteem and your self-confidence. And what I like to tell people is, being a small business owner, being an entrepreneur, is the greatest personal development experience in the world. Because you will meet yourself at every moment. Your laziness, your apathy, your generosity, every single part of you will be exposed. And if you're not comfortable with that, you might want to stay in the safety of your job, you know? And also, I think that recognizing that responsibility and accountability, I mean, I'm prior military, so I also grew up in a military household. People who don't want to be responsible and don't want to be accountable, small business is not for you, because you have to grow yourself in order to grow your business. So that liminal space is tricky. But it's also, I know for me, it's kind of in contrast, like people call it the refiner's fire, because that's where you learn to let go of all the things that no longer serve you. And let me give you one quick example. I'm the eldest, so I thought I'm always responsible for everything. So it took me a long time to hire somebody because I had this, you know, a Supergirl thing going on, and it almost like took me all the way out. So just recognizing that sometimes something that might work over here in your business could be the death of your business because you won't let it go.
So that's really also the eldest. Also, I spent a lot of time when my parents got divorced and I was very young. I remember coming home and my mother cried at the stove. I remember what she was wearing. She had a sweater vest on. Mm-hmm. I can remember that. And just like, why, you know, Mom, why are you sad? I was probably 9 or 10. Like, I just divorced your father today. Like, mm-hmm. just, and cried with me. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I took on this responsibility that it's my job to take care of my mother.
Yes.
And one of the challenges is, you know, I wonder if you felt that you were taking on responsibility that wasn't really yours. And what I mean by that is the line I like to ask people is, how many contracts are you fulfilling in your life that no one else signed?
100%. Oh, I think that, you know, because I like to tell the ugly truth. That is still my companion today, right? I literally will draw out a contract and then I will put it to the side and write down the invisible agreements that I'm making that I don't even, like, I'm going to burden the other person with this because of my perfectionism, right? My people-pleasing, all my stuff, even though I've been to therapy for 30 years for this, it's still with me. And so I finally just accepted, okay, this is a part of who I am, but what I need to do is charge appropriately because I already know I'm going to spin into overgiving and overdoing. But what would make me angry is when I wasn't compensated for the transformation. Because if you work with someone, and because I'm a revenue strategist, so I want to use numbers. If I work with you and you move from $300,000 to $2 million, but I'm only being paid $5,000, right? I know I'm going to have secret resentment and anger. And that's just not a healthy relationship. And then you and I are going to be at odds and you're trying to figure out what's wrong with you. So it kind of reminded me of that poem where the guy says, it's like, you are the captain. Wait, what is, you know, the captain of the master of your ship, the captain of your fate, whatever that. I don't know why I can't remember it right now, but you know what I'm talking about.
You remember at the break.
You know, yeah, exactly, right? But whatever that thing is, I am the master of my fate, the captain of my soul, something like this. And but you must bear the task. It's Jesse B. Rittenhouse's poem. So what I realized was I'm the person that set the rate.
That's right.
Right? So why are you mad with the people because of your junk? So that invisible contract stuff is real. And the assuming false senses of responsibility. You know what I would do? If you said to me, I want to make $1 million because I was so into people pleasing and improving, if I had to carry you, drag you, push you, pull you, oh, you were going to make $1 million on my watch. What you were not going to do is fail, because then I took that personally, like I failed. So I had to unlearn all that stuff. Look at you, all up in my business. Okay, Chris.
that's my job. So before we went on air, people don't see this unless they get some of the bonus footage, but you were talking with some of the crew about accountability and kids, and we're going to get to your revenue, because you use that $300,000 to $2 million. When people throw numbers out, they don't throw arbitrary numbers. So stick around for the next segment so you can learn how to grow your business from $300,000 to $2 million. We are going to get into business stuff, but I want you to know Kadena and who she is first. My thing with kids, I get asked a lot of time, how do you feel about this generation? And I can tell that they're prodding me to say that they're lazy or whatever whatever the aspirations are. And I have kids from 17 to 23, so I do a TV show so someone will listen to me. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell people. But I don't have a problem with kids wanting to make $1 billion. I have a problem with them not doing the math.
Correct.
And that the math is, you can make $1 billion if you can make or save other people $5 to $10 billion.
Yes.
So you get a little bit of the value.
Same philosophy.
If you get less of the value, you can get a percentage of the value that you create for someone else.
Yes.
And so what would you say to people who are trying to do their business and trying to figure something out, not just like about finding value in what they do? Not, you know, connection we already talked about, but what about finding value?
I think that for me, what I always look at is when a client comes to me and they tell me, let's just say they use a figure, and I'm going to go back to the $300,000 to $2 million, because the reason that they want the money is so they can hire employees, they can buy equipment. It's not for themselves to be. Everybody thinks that everybody wants to be a millionaire so that they can drive fancy cars and live in fancy houses, but a lot of people need more money to make the business run, right? And they don't know where I'm going to get this money from. So they're trying their best to provide value, but they think the money is the buffer, when actually that's not it. What it is for me personally is, if you work with me, what's the transformation? Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and financially. So before me, you had this problem. Then now you're working with me, we're moving through that. On the other side of that, you should see 3 to 10x growth. And if you don't, then that means whatever I'm doing is not pulling you forward enough. Because I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not working with somebody who wants to take like a step from the floor, from the floor up a curb, right? You're trying to grow. And when you grow, you have to be brave and courageous in order to make that leap so that you can pay your employees. Nobody wants to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning stressed out about how they're gonna make payroll. That's very, very stressful. So for me, I think a lot of people don't think about the cost of running a business. They wanna make all this money, but then when you say to them, what does the business cost to run? You have to hire people. There's all these things that you need. And they say, oh, I didn't think about it like that. They only think about, I need this much money, but they don't think about, what does the business need? And so this is when people are talking about millions and millions of dollars. I'm like, are you talking about for you? Or are you talking about for your business? Because I personally, and this might sound judgmental, I'm not working with people who come to me to say, I want to make $1 million because I want to drive a Ferrari. That's cool. I'm working with people who 100 years from today, somebody says, what difference did you make in their life? That person has a positive legacy. So I think there's a big difference, right, in just how we see value and how we see. I love the example that you gave about, if I help you to get here, I should have a percentage of it. But what shouldn't be happening, which is what's happening for a lot of people, is they are giving away for free what they deserve to be compensated for. So they don't know how to price, they don't know how to package, they don't know how to sell it, but they're already providing tremendous value, right? They just haven't quantified it, if that makes sense.
It does. No, it makes a ton of sense. And I think for those of you who are watching, it sounds like there are two camps. There's the people who haven't figured out how to actually provide value, like that's which I want to cover in the next segment, is the people who haven't figured out how to provide value and what that works. And then you have the other side, which it sounds like both of us lived in for a very long time, which the self-esteem issue of, I'm over providing value and I'm underpricing for what I have.
Correct.
And then, so if that's who you are, definitely come back after the break so we can help you change the way you look at this so you can actually provide more value and get paid compensately. Let's elevate your perspective and see a better path for you with Kadena Tate after this break. Let me ask you, how much of your hard-earned income is getting gobbled up by taxes? 30%? 40%? Maybe more than 50? You're out here crushing it only to hand over a big fat check to Uncle Sam every year. And here's the kicker, you're probably overpaying big time. But it's not your fault. You've got smart accountants, savvy financial advisors, maybe an attorney or a wealth strategist. They're doing all the usual stuff, right? Home office deductions, Augusta rule, opportunity zones, solar credits, blah, blah, blah. But here's the problem. They're playing defense, not offense. They're focused on the easy wins, the surface level stuff. Meanwhile, you're leaking cash through holes they didn't even know exist. That's where I come in. I'm Chris Jarvis. People call me a financial fixer. Why? Because I help high earning entrepreneurs like you stop bleeding money to taxes and start stacking real wealth. I've written 19 books. And when big accounting and law firms run into trouble with their clients, they call me to help them. Why? Because I don't do basic. I do bold. I get results. And I'm not talking about some overhyped, complicated tax schemes you've heard about. This doesn't require you moving to Puerto Rico or someplace else. I'm not pitching infinite banking or some investment in solar credits that might tie up your money for a decade. Nah, I'm using simple, powerful, structural strategies that legally slash your tax bill by 30% or more every year. How? By helping you set up a smart company. An infrastructure that immediately and drastically helps you reduce what you owe through a proven system. No hassle, no chaos, no firing your accountant, no firing your attorneys, no restructuring your life. These are the strategies the top 0.1% already know, the ones they use to keep more of their money, to build more wealth, and to pay for whatever they want. A business for their kids, college for their kids, a new acquisition, pay down debt, real estate, all of it. The money you're unnecessarily losing to taxes right now, it could be that down payment on real estate, on a business, on anything that will help you build your family's financial legacy. And if you're thinking, this sounds way too good to be true, let me make it even better. I'm willing to bet on myself with what I call the crazy guarantee. If I can't reduce your taxes by at least 30%, I'll pay you $20,000. So here's the real question. Do you want to keep shelling out big bucks, watching hundreds of thousands of dollars vanish, knowing that money could have been fueling your family's future? Or are you ready to take one smart, simple step and start keeping more of what you earn? If you're ready to play offense and start stacking wealth like the elite, click the button below. Book a call. We'll chat. I'll show you where you're bleeding money and exactly how to stop it without stress, without risk, and without overcomplicating your life. It's time to stop playing defense. It's time to win. You can keep doing what you've been doing and keep losing big to taxes, or you can do something smarter and finally start building wealth like the 0.1%. It's something we call the Billionaire Blueprint. The secrets they know are now within your reach. Click the button. Let's talk. This only takes 2 hours of your time. Save big or walk away with 20 grand. Either way, you win. Welcome back. I'm Chris Jarvis, and I am here with the dynamic Kadena Tate, who's talking about, God, so many good things. But we're, in this segment, we're going to talk about more money. And people want money for a variety of reasons. But before I do that, something we were talking about at the break, I was telling you that once upon a time, Brian Murphy, who had been the president of the Hartford, gave me some advice and talked about a great coach he had. Personal transformation coach told him that the secret is to figure out what that thing is driving you from childhood. And that thing being misunderstood, not being good enough, whatever, not pleasing, mom, dad never told them they loved you, whatever the thing is, the thing that will drive you to do what you do. And then eventually that exact same thing will hold you back from going any further.
Facts.
So that cliche, what got you here won't get you there. And then when I go to business school, they more eloquently tell us that there's a life cycle of a business. And in the beginning, you need the enigmatic, dynamic leader to get somebody to buy into a new company and come work for you and buy a product that you haven't even designed yet. And and then you need salespeople to go sell it. And then you need marketing people to put it out there and draw more people in. And then the founder's trap. I learned that the place that most founders leave the business they started is during scale.
Yes.
Because the idea of speed kills, the growth kills. And that may sound crazy to a lot of you, but the growth kills part is you had a great idea. You were driven by the thing from childhood, or you were driven by greed, whatever it was, or you were driven by your why, very Simon Sinek. Mm-hmm. There's some great thing you want to accomplish that's pulling you. Mm-hmm. And so these are very deep emotional things that drive you early to get a business off the ground. You need the emotional to make something out of nothing. But then for scale, you need to put your feelings in the drawer.
Yes.
And you need to build systems.
Yes.
Which my team jokes that, oh, this is operations, you're going to have a heart attack. Like, you're going to, like, because I love growth and I don't like systems. But you have a thought about how important that stage is so that you can get back to being yourself.
Absolutely. So for me, one of the things that I realized is that in order to grow my business, I had to grow myself. And the first thing I needed to do was I needed to learn how to trust other people that they could carry the vision forward. So it was first looking at what are the places in my business where I need the most support that's not my area of expertise. And I needed to hire those people. And that can be frightening because you're giving a part of your dream or what feels like a part of your body to another person. So that was step one, right? Then step two was really getting these people aligned into a culture where we're all facing the same direction on the mountaintop, saying this is the direction that we're going in. And that is challenging because people and their personalities, because you don't realize you're not just carrying your dreams, but you're carrying, this is what I meant earlier about responsibility, you're carrying those people's dreams too, because they have dreams of their little white houses and white picket fences and dogs and cats and all the things, right? And so we don't tell the truth about that. So now you're carrying these people's dreams along with your dreams, and you're kind of stressed because that's a burden that you didn't expect. And then the next step is, what's the business model that I'm going to reinvent, or am I going to disrupt an industry, or am I going to try to do more of the same? Which I think that's the ditch. People try to do what somebody else is doing because they see it as successful, and they don't realize authenticity has no competition. You're not here to copy what somebody else is doing. You're here to create the thing that's in alignment with your gifts, talents, strengths, and abilities. And then these people are coming along to support you, right? So now you lay down the business model, and then on top of that, can it make money? Because unless, even in a nonprofit, you have to have revenue coming in because you got to pay all these people, right? And then there's the whole piece that I feel like is the, it's always the elephant in the room. And one of my clients, Connie Sands, she says, money is the secret partner in every relationship. So in every single relationship, you're in a threesome with money. And if it's just you yourself, you're in a twosome because money is always the companion. And what your relationship is to money is driving things. So in my particular case, it was all about worthiness and deservability. So what I realized was I had to understand how money worked in order for me to have a healthy relationship with it, right? And going into bankruptcy, I was angry because I was undercharging. So I was over-delivering, undercharging. So I didn't know how to price, right? I didn't know how to market. Obviously, I was good at sales, but I didn't know that I was good at sales because I had no documented systems. And I didn't have a coach. So that was like the other ditch, because we're not looking for guidance. Not a coach who's saying, this is my way, but a coach who's saying, okay, what is it that you're trying to do? And then they draw it out on a napkin and show you the path there. So for me, it wasn't until I hired a coach that everything turned around for me. And so, you know, some people say, well, I don't need a coach. I can make, yeah, you can make $1 million on your own by yourself. But there comes a point where you need somebody who's had employees and they can talk to you about tax law or employment law or whatever the thing is. You need some support. You need some guidance, but you still need to be a person that's decisive. Am I answering your question?
Yeah, it's great. Okay. It's and for those of you who are saying, oh, here's another coach who's telling me to hire a coach. When I wrote Six Secrets to Leveraging Success and I wrote Giraffe Money, I looked up the research because I'm a mathematician. So, so Emmanuel Saez, a professor at Berkeley, Cal Berkeley, won the economics, the equivalent of the Fields Prize, which is the math prize, whatever the whatever the prize is in economics. And he did a study on income inequality. And he would look at the whole population. Then he would look at the top 90% excluding the 10%. Then he would look at the top 10% excluding the 1%. And he kept looking at these numbers. To get to the 1% in America, roughly it's $400,000 of income. To get to the 0.1%, one in 1,000 homes, that's actually $1.9 million. And the 0.01% is $11 million a year. And what he found was the hardest migration from one band to the next was to go from 1% to 0.1. That people who make $400,000 almost never make $1.9 million. Almost never. And what's so interesting, which if you didn't pick this up from what Kadena said, like there's a lot of ways to make money. And I said this, there are countless ways to make $400,000 a year, but people who make money working hard never make money as business owners.
Correct.
I wrote an article, Doctors Make the Worst Millionaires. I wrote the same article that was Lawyers Make the Worst Millionaires. So if you can charge for your time and charge very well, you will continue to trade time for money.
Correct.
And isn't that the losing game?
Yeah, but I think that that's, people don't realize, like the reason why I started studying recurring revenue is because I was tired of that cyclical. So you make $60,000 this month and then no money for 5 months, then you make $100,000, then you make no money.
Shake the Etch-A-Sketch, which we're old enough to remember, and start again.
Yes, I was stressed out because I was starting at zero constantly, right? And I sat down and I said, okay, I need to query my clients and I need to find out what's a recurring problem in your business that you need my help solving?
And tell that, by the way, look at that. Tell them that one thing, because every business owner should do this thing. Start doing this today.
So document what is the recurring challenge that you have in your business every single month. Because if you're starting at zero, it might be, do you have a problem attracting clients? Do you have a problem retaining clients? Do you have the problem servicing the clients? I think that we've got to get really, really clear about where the bottleneck is. Sometimes it's you and your attitude, but most times it's your systems. And what I think a lot of people do is they spend huge amounts of money to capture a client. And then once they get the client, they care nothing about the client. And that's where your gold is. That's where all your money is. And it just... it's just, to me, asking that question helped me to see, oh, this is the problem that you have every month. So then I created an offer to match the problem that they had every month.
So you checked into your own business, but then you have people also talk to their clients and ask their clients,
yes,
what problem do you have every month?
Correct.
So you meet them where they are, back
exactly
to what you said in the beginning.
Exactly. And so we're 50, I want to go back to something. So people say, why is your business called 50 Shades of Paid? That's so like ghetto fabulous, da, da, da. But what happened was I was sitting on a sofa one night with a client who was at my house and we were eating popcorn and she laughed. She threw her head back and she said, all of these people worried about this book, 50 Shades of Gray, when they need to get with your program called 50 Shades of Paid. Keep in mind, I didn't have a program called 50 Shades of Paid. And I said, what? And I sat up on the sofa. I said, say that again. She said, yeah, I bought the domain and everything. And she was like so proud of herself. And I looked at her and I said, that's genius. But why do you think that that should be the name of my brand? She said, you are the only person that I know who can take a person's gifts, talents, strengths, and abilities and match them to a revenue stream that honors them. That's where the authenticity comes back. So I think it goes back to what I was saying in the first segment. What people try to do is they try to make money doing things they really don't want to do, but they think they have to do, and they don't connect to another person to say, okay, you have a problem finding customers. That's easy for me, so I can create a system for you where you can easily attract customers into your business. And I think that that's where the disconnect is, because we don't meet people where they are. So that would be my personal opinion.
Well, more than just opinion, this is your success.
Yes, exactly.
This is an opinion. This is a fact that you have anecdotal evidence of making this work for people. So that's... You did say in the beginning, and I want to pick this up in the last segment, that there's a lot of ways to make money, but it's not sustainable. And so for people, you can do something tomorrow. Like, for example, you could make $1 million in the next year selling your kidney and then selling the other one. Mm-hmm. But then you're done. Like, you only have so many kidneys to sell. So if you want to get out of the business of selling kidneys and giving away yourself, and you want to be able to get up in the morning and open that door, turn the knob, hit the keypad, whatever it is to get into your office, and be excited and have something driving you to what you do, because the way that you make money is with people who appreciate you for who you are, and it brings out your magnificence, your genius, then you have got to come back for the next segment with Kadena Tate. We'll be here. Once you're making millions of dollars, or you're worth tens of millions of dollars, you have outgrown conventional thinking. So stop buying off the rack and get something custom made for you that's going to help your family meet all of their goals. We are having so much fun with Kadena Tate, and I'm also mentally making lots of notes for things I need to do differently, because you're giving me so many good nuggets. In the last segment, we were talking about authenticity having no competition, which I really love, and that is the giraffe sticking your neck out, being different, breaking free from the herd, seeing a different path. And when you do something, it's cliche, when you do something you love, you never work a day in your life, and we talked about the show, and I love doing this because it brings you out, and I can feel that. And for people who, people are hustling, trying to figure out what to do, it is really important. You went through, you've got to survey your customers and figure out what problems they have. Mm-hmm. Really important. There's three ways to make more money. You can make more clients. You can sell your product or service to bigger clients and charge more. Mm-hmm. Or there's share of wallet, which is you can sell more things to the same person. And it's always easier to get to, once you've built trust and done something successfully with somebody, you can do more. So I thought that was gold in the last segment with, you've got to survey your customers to figure out what their recurring problem is so you can stay in their life.
Absolutely.
I thought that was fantastic. When you work with a client, this is what you do. You are a revenue strategist. Mm-hmm. You help people, purpose-driven people who are doing it for the right reason, not necessarily for the Ferrari, which you said mm-hmm. is cool and fine, but mm-hmm. they really want to solve a problem and help people. Mm-hmm. What does that process look like for you? What is your process to help somebody who says, okay, I'm grinding, I'm tired, I'm stuck, I'm making money, but now I work for the business, not the business doesn't work for me. What do you do? Like how do you help people figure this out? Because I know there's a lot of people watching this who absolutely, no matter what their level of income is, I've had people tell me at 200,000, I've had people tell me at 20 million that, oh my God, I got the tiger by the tail. And now I literally just get yanked around every day with fire drills and things that come up, and this business isn't mine anymore.
Well, I think step one is ideation. So for me, it's laying down, what is your business right now? What does it look like? What are the parts that you like? And what are the parts that you really don't like or that are stressing you out? Where are you hemorrhaging cash? Where are you hemorrhaging time, right? And then where are your resources like really strapped? So we look at your as-is business model, then we draw what you want it to look like. And then what I do is I ask you a whole stack of questions so that I can see what the bridge is, the liminal space. So what you gave voice to earlier, that's the liminal space. A lot of people don't realize that. So where your business is today and then what you want your business to be, that block of space in between. What are the habits that you need to develop? What are the lessons you need to unlearn? Because there's beliefs, habits, standards, patterns of behavior that you got to let go of. And then there are ones that you have to be willing to embrace. So we lay that out. And then I ask you, what do you want to do? Because at the end of the day, you can grow fast or you can grow slow. But either way, you have to grow because you can't stay the same, right? So it, I get really, really clear. For me, it's like, okay, when I look at the pathways of growth and I look at where you've been and now where you want to go, I think it boils down to three things. Management, which is your leadership style, right?
Yep.
The market, how do you respond versus react to the market? And then money, what's your relationship with money? Do you know your numbers? Because what I find at all different levels, people don't know their numbers. They don't know their P&L, they don't know their financial statements, they don't know EBITDA, they don't know the language of capital, they just don't know. And you don't know what you don't know, but a lot of times people are hemorrhaging cash because they're using their personal credit, not their business credit. Right, they haven't even created a relationship with the banker. Then the ones who do have a relationship with their banker, they don't know what to ask the banker, right? So there's all these little gaps in between in that little liminal space. It's, to me, that's the, I don't call it the liminal space. With clients, I call it the discovery zone. This is where you've got to get curious again about your business, and you've got to get really intentional. This is why I gave that example, because some people might say, I can't have a Ferrari. Yeah, you can have a Ferrari, but what you've got to do in order to hold on to the Ferrari so nobody's repossessing it is you've got to put some systems. You've got to put systems in place. And some of those systems, it can be as simple as, like, for example, I have a client who owns a med spa, right? We just installed this AI receptionist in her business about 7 months ago because she kept losing the front desk person. And I said to her, is that what you really want to do? Because the front desk person is the face of your business. And she looked at me and said, I think that you should keep your front desk person and have the AI receptionist as the, in other words, the human manages the AI receptionist to make sure that it's trained and it can do the task that eat her time alive. So that's what she did. But it's that getting clear about where can AI and these different tools replace some of those mundane tasks. So not replacing people, but the repetitive things that bore people and make them feel disenchanted, you know, and disconnected from the job.
Well, I think it's so important too that there's so many things that are interconnected. I think people are going to want to go back and watch this from the beginning, because you talked about the responsibility and wanting to do everything yourself, mm-hmm. or it's cheaper if I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And how important is it for people to realize the value of their time? Like, if you want to make $500,000 a year, and it's a 2,000, it's 40-hour work week, 50 weeks, which no entrepreneur works, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to make $500,000, you have to think about your time as being worth $250 an hour.
Facts.
You take what you want to make in thousands, you divide it by two, and that's roughly what your time is worth. $1 million is 500, 100,000 is 50. Like, what is it you want to make? That's what your time needs to be worth. And anything that costs less than your time, you should pay somebody else to do.
I also think that what a lot of people don't realize is not, in addition to the time component, it's your attention. Because everybody thinks time is your most valuable resource, and it is, but your attention to me is more valuable. Because where you place your attention will eat your time alive. So what I like to say to people is your three most valuable assets as a small business owner, your time, your undivided attention, and your intellectual property. A lot of people underestimate what they know. This is why they're searching for somebody else's knowledge, because they don't trust themselves, right? So when I'm having a conversation with somebody, and when you think about 50 Shades of Paid, it boils down to audio products, video products, in-person type things, consulting type of gigs, or some type of arbitrage. There's like so many underneath all of that. There's so many layers and levels. There's just multiple ways to make money. But at the end of the day, I think where people get caught up is I want to make money, and they don't think about from a value. You're going to make money as a result of you providing value to somebody. And you can't provide value to anybody if you don't know the answer to two questions. Who is my customer? Three questions. Who is my customer? Meaning, what is the most pressing problem or challenge that they have? Or what is their top goal and aspiration? And then number two, what are they willing to pay, right, for support in that particular arena? And if you don't know that, Oh, I'm sorry, the third question is, and how do they want that package? Because everybody, like, take for example, you can read a book, right? This is a fabulous book. You read the book and you're like, I'm raring to go. And then, but then you need some people who want some additional support. Maybe they want to come to a Be the Giraffe retreat, or somebody wants to learn how to set up their own podcast. So now they're coming to a Be the Giraffe podcast convention, right? Now there's podcasters all over the world who want their own shows. There's like so many ways to touch the lives of people that you think that it's, oh, it's just a show. No, it's not just a show, right? It's right. You know, so I think we've got to develop some self-confidence, some self-esteem, some feelings of self-worth to recognize that we bring tremendous value to the marketplace, not with ego and arrogance, but with the humility to raise your hand high in the air and say, yeah, I'm good at that. I'm happy to help you. You know, it's just an invitation.
How does somebody who's watching this and says, all right, I'm picking up what Kadeen is putting down. I like this. I need to grow. I'm too far in my business. I'm working hard. It's killing me. How do they find you? What resources do you have for them? How do people get more of you? Because this is unfortunately only an hour. So how do people get more you? Because I think that would help a lot of people.
So I'm on LinkedIn, and they can go to my website, kadeenatabe.com. I'm going to make you laugh. I actually don't like to work with people that I don't know. And this trips people out because they think it's some type of sales thing, but I'm very sensitive to people's energy. And I always want to be integrous about that, right? That when I'm meeting people, if your energy has any type of gimme, I got it, I'm grabbing it, I just can't do it. Because I'm really looking for people who want to build legacy. So we have a conversation. So I do a whole bunch of free webinars. So I'll say to people, go to my website. You'll see me, like, join my mailing list. You see the webinar, we'll have a conversation. If we vibe, then we'll have that conversation. But I'm only looking at people who want to grow businesses that solve problems that affect a whole bunch of people in a positive way. I hope that makes sense.
It's great. And I think the lesson there, too, is that here, I'm offering on this platform, how do people get to know you? And you're like, well, I need to know them. It's really important. But you figured that out now, having done this for 25 years, what works for you? And that's such an important thing. It's not just who can pay. It's not who can you work with. It's who can you work with and actually enjoy the interaction, which is 100%. Such a valuable lesson that makes you get up in the morning and want to do this.
Well, it's relationships. I think relationships are very important to me. And connection is my superpower. So I know a whole bunch of people, but when it comes down to business and working with somebody on their business, I already know I'm heavily invested, right? And I'm committed to you winning, and I just can't spread my energy to a whole bunch of different people. I needed to learn that lesson. Yeah.
So glad you did.
Thank you.
There's so much in it. We talked about authenticity being your superpower. We talked about reaching out to your clients and figuring out what recurring pain they have. Mm-hmm. We talked about the importance of a coach and having somebody help you see the blind spots and the things that you don't do. Mm-hmm. We talked about really knowing what integrity means to you and who you want to work with and how you want to help them and having a why.
Yeah.
Is a super important thing. So I cannot thank you enough for giving us such fantastic energy, great insight. People have to come back to learn all these cool things to help you elevate your perspective, see a better path, and ultimately be a giraffe just like Kadeen Tabe. We'll see you next week.